Ladies and gentlemen, welcome. America, welcome tonight. For the People Radio 101.com, hosting your Republic for the United States of America. Good evening, everybody.
Good evening, David. Thank you for having us with you and being able to speak to America tonight. We appreciate it very much. How is your day going, my friend?
The honor is mine, sir, always. Going fantastic now that we're all coming together this evening to discuss very important topics, what's happening in our country as we speak.
You know, everybody's freaking out about this Russia thing, and it's just like life. It depends on your perspective. And I'm encouraged to see Putin, who's been portrayed as the evil one, stand up and be the one that says no more Nazis and no more of this kind of attack on humanity in my backyard. And I think that we're in the beginning of a great new future. And I invite everybody to get involved and get on board and to get a look at a different side of life as to what we're experiencing today. We are privileged tonight to have Lieutenant Colonel retired Sandy Mariachi on with us tonight. Hi, Sandy. How are you?
I am good, sir. How are you?
Hey, it's a beautiful day in paradise. I appreciate you coming on tonight, Sandy. We had visited a couple of months ago about some issues that you're experiencing there as a professor for the United States Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs. You have quite a background that everyone should be honored to be able to hear what you have to say tonight. So I'll turn the floor over to you, Sandy. I'd like to know the follow-up now, as to, since you were put on a leave of absence because you refused to have your individual rights violated. And so can you bring us up to speed on this?
Sure. For anyone who didn't hear the story last time, I'll hit just a couple of sentences in summary. So the Air Force Academy had mandates that they placed on the military first in August, and then came down on October, November for the civilians. And I've been working with a legal team for quite a while, helping out the cadets with their religious exemptions, which did not sit well with the leadership. So anyways, I don't give their mandates any authority whatsoever. I could have gone for a religious exemption or a medical exemption. I would have been perfectly legal to do that. But then that would have been giving them the authority and then asking for it back. So my perspective has always been to fight the mandates straight up in their faces. So that didn't sit well, especially when the testing mandate came down, and that was in December, right before the Christmas break. When we came back, I was relieved of duty on the 10th of January, which was the first day of class, because I refused to do the experimental testing. Now, everything is experimental. Everyone who's on here probably already knows that. There's nothing actually fully FDA approved. And so, therefore, by the Nuremberg Code and all federal laws that derive from it, no one has to do any of that. And so I stood by that, and I'm 100% sure I'm right, and I'm going to take the fall if I have to. So they relieved me of duty. They put me on involuntary leave and gave me a proposal for suspension. So I have my legal team, and we drew a paperwork to come back at them. So I was supposed to have my paperwork finished by the 28th of January, my response. But on the 21st of January, the federal court in Texas ruled that they're blocking all federal civilian mandates directly affecting me. In other words, I don't have to follow a mandate. Well, then everything was put on hold at that point until February 9th, when the appeals court agreed with that same court. So now we have two courts that are voting for no federal civilian mandates for the injection. So that continued for a while. Then March 1st, I got a new proposal for suspension, half as big as the previous one, because they had just lost all their steam with the injection mandate. So now they're pushing the testing and that I was being unprofessional by not following the orders and all that. And I'm saying, well, they've been illegal orders and I am under oath to not follow them and to report them up the chain of command as criminal activity, which I have done. And then out of the blue, Last Wednesday, I got a text message from my boss as I'm waiting now for the deadline of tomorrow to file new paperwork against the new suspension. And he says, oh, things are changing rapidly here on base, and it looks like we're going to have you coming back to work real soon. And I'm like, where is that coming from? Okay. And then the next day, Thursday, they go, yep, we need you to come back to work tomorrow. And if you don't come back to work tomorrow, you're going to be AWOL, absent without leave. I'm like, okay, in your face, fine. Okay, so I came back on Friday and had a meeting with my supervisors. And they said, you know, professionalism and, you know, example for the students and whatever. And I'm just thinking, yeah, I'm doing exactly that myself. And they're thinking the opposite, of course. And they said, we need you to start teaching on Monday. Oh, great. Okay. Of course that I haven't yet prepared, but I'll do the best I can over the weekend. And so I taught again yesterday. As soon as they made the announcement over the system where we communicate with the students, actually my boss told me that there were immediately 12 likes on the message where they said Dr. Marecki is coming back to teach on Monday from my physics students. So I taught the class. Of course, the students asked me what happened. I gave them the facts, kind of like what I just told you, and then taught the lesson. So as of this moment, I'm back to work, which is odd because my suspension says that they have lost confidence in my ability to perform my job. And here I am being invited back and doing my job. So I'm not exactly sure what their stance is, but it's a bit confusing. Well, anyways, I think if it hasn't already happened, it's going to happen any minute now. The legal team will be sending the documents in response to the last suspension today, so before the deadline tomorrow. Then we just wait and see what they're going to do. But next week is spring break, so my guess is that if they were going to have my suspension, which is 7 days, it would be next week during spring break. So that's pretty much an update so far, other than I continue to help the cadets, the active duty, the federal civilians, the contractors, and everyone else all over the country that have contacted me, fighting the denials of their religious exemptions. And now the appeals are being denied at the military level as well. And that is despite two court cases that fly right in the face of that, which is called Air Force Officer versus Austin and Navy SEALs versus Biden, both within the last 3 weeks or so, in the favor of the religious exemptions. In other words, telling the military that they can't deny these exemptions and they cannot punish these people for having their exemptions denied. And so that's basically the update from the world of Marecki.
Thank you for sharing that, Sandy. I remember a conversation that we had, and you told me personally that a big part of the reason that you were doing this was to set the example for your students, because your students already had figured out the truth.
And that's correct.
You have an oath, to tell anything but the truth would be a violation of that oath. And so you were really under the microscope. Did you see or sense any type of a reaction to your small victory from your constituents and in your class?
Well, my students are ecstatic that I'm back, and they know what's going on. I wasn't able to communicate with them because I was told not to. So they really didn't know, other than the one email that I did send to them before I left the building in January and hadn't been back except for these mandatory meetings that they called me in for. So they kind of just guessed, I guess, is what was going on. One of the students told me yesterday that after the announcement came down about what was going to happen to me, he was in the cafeteria, and that's all he heard people talking about was that I was relieved of duty and how all the students were backing me. So I thought that was super cool that they were getting a life lesson and a career lesson right there just from my actions. So I think it's having the desired effect on our future officers.
Oh, praise the Lord. Well, God bless you, Sandy. America needs leadership like yourself to stand up and do the right thing, and always at the right time also, and not bow to peer pressure and the pressures that go within that particular society. You know, saving face, sounds like to me they're trying to figure out how to save face. And
that
the fact of it is they screwed up, and it's their skin and they're hiding the game, and they need to stand accountable for their actions or inactions. And I'm sure that those of us that are on this call and will listen to it in the future will are 100% behind you. And we thank you for your dedicated service and your ongoing patriotism, Sandy. I'm going to open the floor to anyone that's on our team tonight to ask Sandy a question.
Hey, this is Roger. It's interesting to me, coming from a military background myself, being enlisted, you're always seeing the officers. Now, I was in the Marines and the Navy, so we were close quarters. But yet you watch the officers, they send the message to the troops by example. And what you just did, what you just explained, was showing leadership through example. That's why those cadets, they watched, they observed, they saw what you did. And now for the rest of their careers, they have a life lesson in how to operate and how to do things. You know, if that would have never happened to you, they would have probably never got that lesson the way they got it. So again, you know, that shows leadership in the highest quality from what you did. So not only thank you, but, you know, from one military person to another, well done.
Sure.
Got just throw this in there as far as the why all of a sudden now the backdrop of going after the military personnel and trying to keep this quiet, or the COVID scare all of a sudden is disappearing. Where's Fauci? Gone, disappeared. No, you know, all of a sudden we're all better. We don't have to worry about anything. And now they're going to twist it around to we were bad boys and bad girls. Because if you read the article, it says, the needlessly complicated Supreme Court fight over whether Navy SEALs have to obey orders. There's your twisted, idiotic media right there. Look how they title it, have to obey orders. That is such a stupid headline to put, but that's the narrative they're going to paint, the picture of this COVID and people like Sandy, who eventually down the road, you'll hear about this again, and it'll come back and haunt you, depending on how they play out their new world order scheme with Russia, and because that's the big event right now they want to stay concentrated on. COVID is kind of taking its back burner right now. Because like I said, where's Fauci? If you remember correctly, before this Russia thing, for the last week of February, the only thing you turned on your flat screen TV there or turned on the radio, all you heard, COVID, 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 COVID. We're all going to die, you know, and mandates, mask mandates, the trucker thing. Now, all of a sudden, nothing, you know, and it's all Russia. So this is how they control us. And we really, this affects you, obviously, and we have to stay focused and not let it go, but showing our support for you. But we cannot play into their narratives and their media, their corporate, their media, and the way they drill us with this information, disinformation is so powerful and so shapelifting, how they shape lift everybody into believing something that's not true. And this, it's dangerous. And if people feed into it, and we just cannot forget about this, we can't forget about this COVID hoax. And we have to stay behind the military people that have fought this, because I assure you, they're not going to forget it. They'll always come after you. You're definitely a thorn in their side, and they don't like you. So, and I'm sure you know that. So, you know, just because they want to play nicey-nice right now, I wouldn't be surprised. Like I said, just be careful and be alert.
Well, I'm keeping my antennas up because the abruptness of them calling me back kind of made me question whether or not they're trying to get me to do something wrong that they can then also use against me as they're running out of all the other things that they were trying.
Exactly. Exactly. Remember O.J. Simpson? He got off free, but they got him eventually, right? You know, we know he was guilty, you know, so I'm not saying you're guilty. What I'm trying to say is they don't forget. They'll get you. They want to come after you, and I'm not trying to say be paranoid or be looking under the rock for, you know, every new world order thug that's out there, but I'm just saying be careful, and you're absolutely correct. Make sure your antennas stay up.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, it's interesting to bring that up. I've likened our cause over the years, especially since Trump began his term as president. It's a lot like prairie dog hunting. You know, everybody gets to have their chance to self-identify. And usually when they self-identify, it's with nefarious means or motives in mind. So it doesn't negate the danger that we're in. But yeah, it is part of the scenario that has to play out, is that everybody gets to self-identify so that when the day of reckoning finally is here.
Just interrupt you real quick politely here. We all think this big battle is going to come down the pike and it's going to erupt and we're going to be face to face with evil. This is a disorder that they're creating to simulate us into this new world order. It's not going to be that shock and awe that we think it's going to be. You know, they're going to we're going to wake up one day and say, how did this happen? Or we're going to see it coming, those of us that are awake, and we're going to be trying to warn people, but people are going to want it. Remember, people are going to want this to be controlled, and people are going to want to give up their liberties and freedoms. We see that. We've seen that already. Look at 9/11, how much people were willing to give up just in the name of a boogeyman that was in a cave. You know, I mean, that didn't exist. So it's you know, Al-Qaeda, it was a computer program, you know, Al-Qaeda, you know, so all, you know, but there was this fake boogeyman. And, but yet, think back to that time period now, how foolish we really were, you know, and this is what then, look, same thing with this COVID, and look what they've taken away with this COVID. Look how much they were able to get away with, to put stuff into our bodies against our will. You know, and then to persuade and change our free will into believing a lie, you know, that many people still believe. That's how dangerous this is. And then we have to look at the spiritual side of God. How does God look upon this, you know?
Well, it's interesting to bring that up, especially with your ending, because that goes right exactly where I was headed. I was having a conversation with David Herber, who I believe is on with us tonight. I was pointing out that if you go back and you study history, that slavery has been around forever, literally forever. And the ring in the ear or nose in the ear, in their case, indicated that they had given up their free sovereignty. Once they were liberated and set free, and some were, that they had gone back and asked to be a slave and had given up their sovereignty for life, thus indicated by the piercing. And isn't it interesting that there is a portion of humanity that would rather not be the trailblazers? They just want to sit back in the rocking chair and take what life gives them rather than blaze their own way and leave their own legacy. And that is just, I believe, demonstrates itself, the facts of where we're at today, that there are those among us that would choose the other road and give up their sovereignty. And that is their free individual right. So if we all agree that we have the freedom of choice and we're really going to go after that target, does that mean we're going to have divided jurisdictions amongst us? That's the only end of that conversation that I can see.
It's not a difficult choice to choose between tyranny and freedom, good versus evil. It's not it's not a difficult choice for people like us or for me, because I know, you know, because we have that understanding. We're in touch with God or the Holy Spirit or whatever you want to call it. We're in touch. We have that goodness within us. We're blessed that way because that light bulb was turned on. But you have people that are even close friends of mine. I was having a discussion just the other night, and, well, you know, this is the way it's going to be. You know, that apathy starts feeding. I just want to shake them. What are you talking about? Well, you know, just 5 years ago, we were going to war doing this, and, you know, it's like, what's going on here? I can't believe it. You know, I feel like I'm going to be stuck on an island all alone saying, what happened? You know, like, you know, so it's very important that we stay diligent and never, ever let our guard down. Like Sandy was just saying, with her antennas being up, that's good phrase right there. And we have to keep our antennas up and always stand up against evil, no matter how good, you know, there's no deals with the devil. Let's just put it like that. There's no deals with the devil. Never.
What I've noticed is that the people who have accepted the injection are different now. They almost have given up on certain things that used to be important to them. And I wonder if that was the intention of the injection all along.
Yeah, you are right. That's a very important part. It affects the brain, and I've noticed that. And Dr. Peter Ventura, actually, I just want to say this real quick. Very sick. He's in the hospital, not looking good. COVID, second time around now. He has blood clots in his lungs. I talked to him today. His mind isn't the same, and it's interesting you bring that up. And I've seen his thinking change over the past few months. It attacks the mind, the soul. You're absolutely right. There's an evil, evil thing that's out there. That the devil, whatever you want to call it, the evil out there has concocted to crush humanity. Thank God that we're here fighting, and we have each other still. But we have to remember that and never forget that.
Sandy, I've got a thought here I want to hit you with, see if you agree with this. Now, for those that have never been in the military, they may not grasp this right off top, but, you know, when we're in the military, we are taught to always be aware, always know what's going on around you, always being aware of what people may be talking about or seeing, and we are to always be alert. Even if we're on base. Now, my dad used to tell me stories about World War II. My mom used to tell me stories about what home life here in America was like in World War II. A lot different than what we're used to. And I would say to the American people, be very aware of what's going on right now, because this war in Ukraine with Russia, as bad and evil as it may be, the deep state, they're using this to bring in Chrislam behind your back, undercover. That's the one world religion, due to begin worldwide around Passover and Easter time. The buildings in Dubai are about built and ready to be housed. The Pope and the Muslims and the Hindus and those in Israel have all signed what they call the Abraham Accord. Trump was involved in that at the White House. They're ready to go with this. You're not hearing nothing about it. There's another aspect to this too. Just because we are over away from Russia, we got the Pacific on one side that separates us, and we got the Atlantic on the other. Does not mean we can just lay in bed at night and not worry. Because I'm going to tell you right now, we are at war. We've been at war for 2 years. It started with the COVID. The American people are dumbed down, like Joe and Sandy had been saying, they're different. They don't care about certain things. Now is when the enemy will attack the homeland. Be aware. Know what's around you. When you hear a plane fly over, look up, make sure it's an American. I know that sounds crazy, but you better be aware of what's going on around you. Think Japan. Think Hiroshima. One morning they were all going to work and going to school, and the next minute everybody was gone. Except now it's not going to necessarily be an atomic or nuclear weapon. It'll be a biological one. They don't have all these labs in Ukraine and 170 more scattered around the world. Why won't we just do that on our own land to protect our own homeland? No, we got to do it everywhere around the world except in America. Why is that? What are they working on that they don't want to do it here? They don't mind doing it in somebody else's backyard. Why here? Because it's too dangerous. One drop can kill 100,000 people. That's why. Where's Fauci? Now, I'll guarantee you that guy's in a hole somewhere, because he's been exposed. And there's a whole lot of people, not just in this country, but around the world, that would love to get their hands on that guy's neck. He has done so much damage.
Yeah, no, I know, but there's a lot of these New World Order thugs out there. I don't really think he's too worried, but Putin's attack, you know, did waken the ghosts of war that, you know, has haunted Europe, you know, for over a century. You know,
yes.
I mean, you know, we watch supposedly in horror, you know, as the assault force attack Ukraine from three sides with missiles and bombs and electronic wizardry and cyber warfare and whatnot. You know, scores of nations have condemned this invasion, but you know, the gut wrenching fact is that Ukraine is fighting Putin by itself. You know,
right.
And this conflict isn't a case of sleepwalking toward war. You know, you got to remember, historians have described this as, for instance, like the blind when we marched into World War One in 1914. You know, it's closer to attack that, you know, that bitter pill. We have to be careful. That's what I'm saying, is to be sucked into this vacuum, because a lot of mistakes were made during World War Two. You know,
right.
So, you know, we have to be careful. You know, and I just think back to, look, the Republic, and this is what's so very important. Our founders gave us something, a gift of the freedom of liberty that the world, you know, that's the shot heard around the world, they like to say, for instance. You know, they gave us this freedom. What did George Washington say? Friends with all, alliances with none. We have to be careful who we make our alliances with. You know, we shouldn't be making with anybody. You know, we should have friends with everyone. But, you know, people say, well, that was years ago. We live in a different – no. If you read the founders' quotes, you just go back and just – when you have time, take 30 minutes. Go back and read a lot of their quotes. You can't read them all, but you read them and it applies to every day. It's just like the Bible, you know, how you could take so much from their words, how gifted they were and blessed they were, and learn from history, learn from the founding fathers. You know, and that's why it's the New World Order hates them. They hate the founding fathers. They can't stand 1776. You know,
right.
So we have to be careful.
Hey, you know, Joe, I want to tell you this, and I want to tell David Hertler this, because he'll get a kick out of this. You know, Jamestown was founded in 1607. The Bible, the King James, was printed in 1611. 4 years later.
Yep.
I'm sitting here today thinking about that, and back in that era, what did God actually give the world? He gave the world a new nation, and then he gave us a printed Bible. Now, you can say what you want about the King James, but at the time, it's the only thing that the world had, besides the Geneva, that they could read. And I just think it's interesting that his word came out in print 4 years after this nation was actually settled with Jamestown. Two new beginnings happening at the same time. I just think that was interesting.
Yeah, it was the seventh translation, you know, as
Holden
Psalms there, you know. So, yeah, in English, and, you know, predominantly to do business in the world, you have to speak English pretty much. So English is the predominant language around the world, beginning around that time period and still today. So 1611, yeah, the King James Bible. Sure, yeah, I got that. But as far as Sandy goes and her situation with what has happened now back there teaching, I mean, is there any inclination that they're going to try to pull the rug out from underneath your feet again? Has there any, like, obviously you say your antennas are up. Have you heard any whispers or do you have any, not being paranoid, but any type of paranoid type of feelings that, you know, hey, you know, this person, what's going on? Like any backdoor or backroom secrets that you could divulge to us that maybe you fear is going to come out in the open here against you? I'm just trying to get a little feel here of what these people are going to try to pull with you.
No, I haven't had any feelings like that yet. It's only been 2 days, so I haven't had a whole lot of interface with the people. One thing I did tell my boss when he happened to be walking by my classroom after I had taught my classes yesterday, he said something, and then my reply was something to the effect of, now you know that what I'm doing here is for you and everyone on this base, because what's happening is wrong, and I'm going to keep fighting what I think is wrong. And so he said something to the effect of, and I appreciate that, or something like that. But yeah, so I still think that they're, it's just a feeling, you know, and you have to go with those, right? Because you have to assume that those feelings are coming from somewhere. So I think that I just need to be careful so that I don't give them any ammunition, in other words.
Or any rope, like they say, the old saying, don't give them enough rope to hang you.
Right.
You know, be careful.
But I'm not going to
be praying for you.
Thank you, man. Thank you very much. I appreciate everyone's prayers.
Sandy, this is David. It's an honor to be on this radio program with you. I heard that 40% of the military took the jab. Are you willing to speak into that?
You said 40, 40?
40% of the military took the jab. Are you able to speak into that?
I am not aware of the actual statistics. I know the numbers that they keep saying is in the 90%. I have no idea how accurate that is, unfortunately. From the students' perspective, I know that they were all threatened, and that's the exact word. If they didn't get it, they would be expelled. So they got it, because it's like, well, I want to go here. I want to be a student here. And so it took a very strong student to say, no, it's wrong. And those are the ones that I'm helping to fight back.
You see how they twist the numbers, though? They don't tell you the full story. You're absolutely right, but the 92%. 92% took one shot, not all the shots, you see? So
well,
David is right about, you know, when it, with numbers.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't know. You know, even if they just took one shot, that could still be enough to be terminal. So we don't know.
This is David again, Sandy. What is the feeling around the people you rub shoulders with concerning what you just talked about, what you just said? What is being talked about with the people that are on our side, if you will, concerning the military down the road, let's say 3, 4, 5 years from now?
I would have to say that I know that the ones that I'm helping feel abused and neglected and discriminated against and a little bit hopeless. And that's a lot of the reason why I make sure that I speak up as much as possible, so that if anyone is feeling those feelings, they know that they can come talk to me and have a safe environment, that they don't have to worry about thinking the wrong thoughts or something, you know, wrong think or whatever from 1984. But I truly think that we are going to be making some extraordinary officers from these experiences, because you have to have faith that we are going to win in the end. And when we do, it's these officers that fought back that are going to be our future leaders, because those are the ones that have, you know, trial by fire. They've already proven themselves. So that's my feeling.
I have to agree with you, Sandy. As bitter of a pill as that is, because we all have loved ones and those close to us and those we work with and we have feelings for, and nobody wants to see even humanity suffer needlessly. Then again, isn't that what this big battle that we're in is all about, is getting control of that so that we're no longer the sheeple, the guinea pigs, the uneducated, the transhumanism, if you will, is the ultimate
right
end of this conversation. So that's the hill we're on, folks, in my opinion. I think most of the people here would agree. And this is why we do what we do in our off time, rather than go boating or go do other things, because we're in a fight for this, for everyone. Governor Henning, could you let the audience know how they can get involved and find out more about us?
I sure would. Thank you, Governor Carpenter. Sandy and Roger, thank you for your service. Joe, it's always a pleasure to have you on the show with us. America, go to republic4unitedstatesofamerica.org. Educate yourself there. Read the Declaration of Sovereign Intent, Proclamation of Claim of Interest. You can also find all the archived radio shows that goes back many years, that you can listen to every one of our shows, like tonight. And also, America, you know, whatever weaknesses a representative republic may have, there's no better way to protect the rights of all Americans from those who would abuse government for their own interests. The American people need only to grab a hold of their republic in mass to get it back. There is nothing preventing the American people from doing so other than the apathetic belief that they cannot make a difference. As Americans, we are held to a high standard. We not only have the right, but also the obligation to take action when we hear that our form of governance was changed without our permission. America, our founding fathers used the Holy Bible to write the Constitution of the United States of America and the Bill of Rights. That is a biblical law form that our founding fathers left for us. We should all honor that and continue to study and understand the Constitution and also the Holy Bible. Dave and Jean Hertler donated their time for about 3.5-4 years to write 2 volumes, books, The Reinhabited Republic for the United States of America, Volume 1, America's Truthful History. And that is, you can buy that at Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, and also at Reinhabited.com. And Volume 2 is Reinhabited Republic for the United States of America, Volume 2, The Story of the Reinhabitation. Again, you can order that book at Reinhabited.com or Barnes & Noble or Amazon.com. And let's not forget our beloved Restoration President, James Timothy Turner, an American president, political prisoner. And Dean wrote a book, A Legal Brief, and Appeal to the Courts of Heaven. That book can also be ordered at Reinhabited.com or Barnes & Noble or Amazon.com. You know, America, it's time to educate yourself and take control of this great American Republic that our forefathers left for us to protect and enjoy. We are holding your seat and the title to America's Republic. You just need to want it back. Take ownership of your part and spread the word. Again, go to republicforunitedstatesofamerica.org.
Thank you, Governor Henning. Joseph Gibson, it's a pleasure to have you join us and simulcast with us tonight. I hear rumors about some conversations we've had over the years that you stepped forward and made your candidacy for District 6 in the House of North Carolina?
Actually, District 65 in Rockingham County, North Carolina. My name is on the ballot here. Yeah, I'm running for, and my platform, my campaign is to restore the republic and restore the original Constitution. So I'm running. It's a de facto that I'm running against, you know, but they're well aware of my platform, and it's actually gaining a lot of traction. And I've already got several interviews lined up on FM radio shows. So I've got the website up and going now. And if I get in there as a state lawmaker, you better believe the du jour will be confronting the de facto. And if anyone knows anything about that, or I'm sure you guys do, but if anyone that's listening knows, this is a serious change in the way things will be done. We'll be going back to lawful government because UNC, a college down here, addressed that. They did many constitutional scholars addressed that very issue, and the de facto versus the de jure. And that's something we can't get into right now and, go back into an entire history lesson. But the Hertlers, I'm sure, are very well aware of what I'm talking about. So I'm putting my neck out there, for doing what's right, and I believe that we have to, restore our republic. That's what we've been talking about for years, and I believe this is the best direction to go, at least here in North Carolina, to restore our republic and bring back a lawful form of de jure government in our country. And it's going to start here in North Carolina, hopefully, in one state at a time. Hopefully they'll catch. And we'll end the Fed and the Federal Reserve and restore sound money and restore our original Constitution as it was intended by our founders.
Wow, that's great, Joe. Appreciate everything that you do. And you do have a site set up where you can accept donations. I saw you sent that to me. Would you share that, please?
Yeah, I'll share that with you. And also, as far as the my podcast show, I'm not simulcasting right now. I'm recording what we're doing right now, but I'm going to be going live here on Blog Talk Radio as soon as we wrap up this show. So anybody wants to join me over there just for a little while, you can. And blogtalkradio.com/Joseph Gibson. Phone number over there is 657-383-0616. And the site, joegibsonishome.wixsite.com/mysite-2. Okay, I don't have my domain name fully yet there, but I think I'm going to go with that because that seems to be gaining enough traction right now with what I got. So with what I've already put out there, why switch it up so people get lost, you know? But Google's picked it up, and then if you know what I mean, as far as getting the internet and all the other major like Yahoo, Google, and you know, for your browser to type it in, and then you type that in, and it pops up first. People know what I'm talking about, the algorithms and everything. You got to get that all established, and believe me, it's a pain in the rear end. But you type in Joseph Gibson here in North Carolina or Rockingham County or in North Carolina House of Representatives, I'm sure that'll pop up on your web page, web browser. So that's what I want, so people can find me easily.
Great, Joe. Hey, that brings me back to a conversation we had quite a while back. Well, when you were really testing the waters to see what you wanted to do with your candidacy, and you shared a poll with me that just blew my hair back. It was about something like 90% of the constituents in your area approved your platform or liked your platform. Could you give me some clarity on that?
Yeah. What we did was a couple of friends of mine, what we did was we did a phone drive and we called people in my state here, in my area, in my county, with roughly about 150,000 people. And we called 150 people, just out of the blue, registered voters, and explained to them, you know, what I was doing, what I just explained to you just now about restoring the republic. And out of all the callers, I would say, I think it was, hang on, I got it written down here. Of 150 callers, 138 people said they would vote for me and support me in restoring the republic. So now let's be honest here. I didn't have the other side, you know, campaign, you know, on the phone, you know, trying to disagree with me or debate me. It was just me on the phone and my guys calling. So they were just promoting what I just had said there. But that was the so I want to be honest here, you know, we're giving you a poll here. But, 137 people out of 150 say, you know, they would support me. I say that's quite a win, you know.
For me, that conversation was a turning point in my hope in seeing where you were going. Not that I didn't have my backing or good intentions.
That conversation, Governor, and you were like, no, you don't want to step into the jurisdiction of the de facto. And really, we can't take on head-to-head the de facto. We have to infiltrate, not deceivingly or using deception. We have to infiltrate and get our feet. We have to get our feet in the Capitol doors. We have to get offices there. We've got, you know, we can't be on a farm someplace saying, yeah, here's the republic. We've got to get in there. They own everything. They control everything. We lost our republic. It's our fault. It's our parents, grandparents' fault. So it's up to us to stand up and get it back. And I felt that this is the best way of doing it.
Well, the only thing that beats a failure is a try. And I sure appreciate what you're doing. I know it comes with a great cost, not only financially, but all the rest that is involved in that scenario. I'm going to open the floor real quick for anyone that has a comment or wants to.
This is Mark Finder. May I have the floor?
Mark, go ahead.
Thank you. Sandy, I just want to, and Joseph too, I want to commend both of you for standing up, doing what's right. Sandy for upholding her oath. I know it takes a lot of guts. There's going to be a lot of respect. Just keep on keeping on. It's going to probably be a bit of a marathon here. They're going to try to wear you out. In my experience anyway, they try to wear you out in the court systems and stuff and try to get you down. But we're behind you, and you're in my prayers. And with that, I yield. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
With that, I think we'll close out. Representative Binder, would you close us out with a word of prayer, please?
Yes, sir. Be my honor. Heavenly Father, we give thanks for the many blessings being poured out by you for the multitude who are in need of them. All the praise and glory is yours for all time. We seek to praise and glorify your holy name and worship in celebration of the victory against evil satanic adversaries that your word guarantees us to have. Matthew 5:9 tells us, and forward tells us, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall in all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Father, strengthen us today because we are in that time where anything against the true interests of the Word of God finds a ready admission into the news media of the world and is treated as general information, and where anything in favor of the Word of God's inspiration and divine origin and its spiritual truth is rigidly excluded as being controversial. The Lord God caused the lying media and deceptive pulpits to fold like a house of cards would be in a mighty windstorm, so that truth will be proclaimed throughout the world, and in turn those who are asleep shall be awakened. We pray Psalms 91 over our military, pray Psalms 82 over our courts, and Psalms 75 of the entire world. In Yeshua's name we pray. Thank you, Father, and amen.
Amen. Thank you, Governor Binder. Yes, it is very true, folks. It's all about whose jurisdiction you choose to live under. And now you've got just a little bit more of the story this evening. Thank you, David Broadhurst, for allowing us to join For the People Radio 101 and speak out and communicate with the American people.
It's a great honor to host our Republic here on Tuesday nights. But ladies and gentlemen, America, I will say this. History is repeating itself in a very horrible way. Our futures may very well be changed forever. It's up to great patriots now to stand up, rise up, like Sandy, Joe, our republic, our governors, great patriots out there, our truckers, and everybody out there, great Americans. We have to stand up against this tyranny. We have to do it for our future of our children and grandchildren. So at that, I say to each and every one of you, God bless you all, your families, and God bless America.